This is Ashley Tobolo. It is July 26th, 2021. It is 9:15 a.m. I am back with Janine Brown to continue our previous interview. Janine, is it okay that this portion of the interview will also be included publicly in the archive?
Yep.
Okay, so we didn't get to finish all the questions we had hoped to get through last time. So we will just add this to the previous portion of your interview from July 24th. And my first question is, what was the biggest change for you during the pandemic?
I think there were a lot of bigger changes, but definitely the biggest one is that I made the decision to move in with my boyfriend at the time.
Oh, well, that's very exciting. Did the pandemic sort of have anything to do with that?
Pretty much everything to do with it. We had started dating in December of 2019. So we were still, you know, a very new relationship when the pandemic started. And we were both going through, you know, a hard time with it, and we couldn't see each other as much, and we figured it was either don't ever see each other with all the lockdowns, or, you know, take a chance and move in together. So we decided to try that out, and it worked great. We got along completely fine, and I'm still there, so I guess it worked out.
Well, that's good. And so how do you feel that decision helped you during the pandemic?
I mean, it definitely helped my mental health. It was nice to just have, you know, somebody there who I could talk to, who we could change ideas, figure out what's going on in the world, and, you know, we can just learn more about each other. It was a good distraction, I think, from all of the negative that was happening. Because, like I said, we were able to talk to each other about, like, our respective views and stuff, but we were also able to bond over our shared hobbies and things like that. We were able to spend a lot of time together and get to know each other pretty well in a short amount of time because, you know, we were both not working at the time because everything was shut down, so we were just sort of always together. And I think that helped a lot to just sort of work through all of the negative things, but also to provide, like, that sort of positive distraction in there of, like, we have things to do, we have projects we can work on together. And so, yeah, it was a very nice change.
And how do you think your experience during the pandemic would have been different had you not decided to make that big change?
I think that it would have been very hard. I think it would have been hard for me to find enjoyment in the day-to-day just because I, you know, with lockdowns, I couldn't really go anywhere. I couldn't really see anybody. So it was very lonely. Like, and I mentioned in the previous interview, like, me and my parents are, you know, I love them, they're my family, but we don't have the same views on certain things, which would have just made it a very tense situation for, I mean, probably everybody, but probably mostly me, because, you know, I'm the outlier. So I would have just felt very isolated. Even being home with more people, it still would have been a very isolating experience. So I definitely think it was the best move I could have made for, like, my mental health. Honestly, my physical health too, because we did workouts together. We went on walks. I came up with my own workout routines that I, you know, did with my best friend. We challenged each other, and it just became such a positive thing to just be in a new environment for me, have other things to think about, and it honestly just gave me so much perspective on like the real world, I guess, because instead of being locked in You know, instead of being locked in one box, I was technically locked in a different box, but it was doing things that were new and interesting, and I was able to, like, expand my horizons a lot.
Well, I'm glad it worked out so well for you. Did anyone, like, caution you against it?
I cautioned me against it, if that counts. Surprisingly, my parents were not super vocal about it. I don't think that they, like, approved necessarily, but they didn't tell me, this is a terrible idea, you shouldn't be doing it. They were fairly supportive in that, you know, they let me go. They said I could always, you know, come back or call them if there was anything that happened. So like I said, they were very supportive. It was mostly me cautioning myself because, you know, it's still a very new relationship. We were 4 months in when the lockdowns really started cracking down. And, you know, is objectively very early to think about moving in with somebody. But I figured our goal was a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I might as well figure out now if we're compatible. In that respect of, like, living together and actually sharing a space and a life. So I figured, even though it's early, it'll tell me right away, like, is this something that we could pursue, that, you know, will grow into something much, much more. Or, you know, if we had some really severe incompatibilities in different areas, then I would know early without, you know, spending years and then moving in and then, you know, finding out that there's an irreconcilable issue. But like I said, everything just sort of, like, I don't know, he was great. Everything worked out great. And we get along. We don't really fight. And if we do have disagreements, they don't last very long. It was a process of learning to communicate things because I am how I would call emotionally unintelligent. I'm not good at figuring out why I'm feeling a certain way, because something will happen and then, you know, I'll be sad about it or upset about it, but I won't always know why I feel that way, or why I feel so much that way. Mm-hmm. And it takes me a while to sort of, like, do some introspection, deconstruct, like, okay, I'm feeling sad about whatever issue. What about that issue is making me feel sad? And just sort of figuring out how I can, you know, move on from it, grow from it. So that was a lot of what I was doing towards the start of the lockdown when I moved in, was how can I emotionally grow and figure out that whole thing, which is still a process. I think I'm better at it, which is good. I don't think I'm good at it yet. But he's done a great job of helping me work through it, talking with me about things, and just making it not super stressful. I don't feel a pressure. Like, I don't feel like I have to, you know, like, something happens and I'm upset. I don't feel like I have to figure this out right now or he's going to be mad, or something. He's very understanding about, you know, I'm working on stuff, working on my own things. He's working on his own things. And it's just, you know, a very peaceful thing, even if I don't feel at peace at the time. Like, even if I'm upset, it's a very much just communication thing. I can just communicate, and I don't feel bad doing that. I don't feel rushed. I don't feel pressured. It's just very pleasant.
Oh, that sounds really wonderful. I'm very happy for you that you found that in the midst of a terrible pandemic. I know you've mentioned outside of the interview that things have gone so well that you are house hunting. How has that process been during a pandemic?
Oh, the market is not agreeable right now. We started seriously looking at houses not too long ago. I don't remember exactly when, but his mom had sent him a text with a listing from Zillow on it for us to check out. And so we looked at it and stuff, and we're like, oh, while the app was open, we ended up, oh, well, what's around there? And we started looking at all the different places. And then we were like, I don't know how it happened exactly, but it turned into like a casual search to like, this is something that we could do. Like, this is something that is possible for us to do. I think that we decided that the market isn't great right now, so we're gonna wait to buy one, but we've looked at many houses together. We figured out what we want, what we don't want, what are things that like are essentials and what are just wants that we can live without. We even decided that we're gonna get, when the market calms down, a starter home, so that we don't, you know, like, it doesn't have to have everything that we want in it, but it's an upgrade from where we are right now, and it will give us space to do what we'd like for however long, and then we'll eventually buy some land and end up building whatever forever home that we want, because then we can decide what it looks like and what we want where and how the rooms will be set up and the floor layout plan. All of that will be up to us, which is probably the best way to handle like a forever home, because I don't think we're gonna find like something that is perfect for what we're going for. And we don't want to just sort of be like constantly looking for that one house that will be perfect, because that's not really ideal either. That's gonna take a long time.
Yeah.
So we figure we'll pick one that is good, that we like a lot, that will provide everything that we want to do for right now. But then the goal is for both of us eventually to build our own and to, you know, get some land and make that happen.
And you mentioned that you're seeing problems, there's problems in the market for buyers. What are you encountering? What's the market looking like?
Oh, it is extremely expensive when compared to previous years. We know that, like, houses really, like, if you want even, like, two bathrooms, the houses are at least, like, 160, 170, even if it's, like, a smaller house. So the value of the houses are sort of like at a peak right now, I feel. And when we looked at like previous years of like what have they sold for, and even some of our relatives who have bought houses a couple years ago and what those same houses are worth today, it's kind of staggering. Because, I mean, his brother bought a house a couple years ago for, I don't remember the exact number, but for however many dollars. And when we looked at it, a couple weeks ago on like what it would be worth in this market, it was pretty much like double the price. Like, if he wanted to sell that house, it was insane. So I really feel like it's just not a good time. Like, that was really the nail in the coffin. Like, this is not a good time to buy, because once we do buy it and then the market calms down, then all of a sudden we're out a lot of money that we didn't have to be out. So yeah, we decided we're going to wait until it comes down. And prices have started coming down a little bit more recently, which is good. We expect that they'll keep doing that. And I mean, that's the hope. It's a market, so it can really go anywhere it wants to. But following trends, it's probably going to go down, and we'll be more comfortable. We won't have land that depreciates in a couple months after we buy it, which is what we're hoping for. We don't want to get a house and then 6 months later it's not even worth what we paid for it anymore.
Well, it sounds like a good decision then. I hope it comes down for you pretty soon. So going back to sort of your experience moving in with someone and new house, new surroundings, did you face sort of any challenges?
So by challenges, do you mean like things that are like obstacles to that, or like just like if it was hard in certain areas?
Yeah, it was like, I assume there was some sort of adjustment period. So like, I guess what were things that you found difficult or...
So I don't know if it is particularly difficult, but he does have a cat named Wendy, who is amazing. And I learned very quickly that when Wendy wants food, she is prone to screaming.
Oh!
Yeah, like, not like a normal, like, how cats meow. Like, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like, screaming.
Oh, my!
So she, at least when I was teaching remotely, because I did that all, you know, from his apartment, it was really just me contending with Wendy in the corner screaming at me to give her food, to give her lunch. And a lot of times I had to, like, I would sometimes, like, pause the class and just to feed her and then come back and be like, sorry, guys, my cat is, she's hungry. So if you don't want to hear her yelling anymore, I had to go handle that really quick. But she's great. She's a bundle of joy and anger and other personalities. She just, when I first started, like, staying there, she was a little bit hesitant, but it really didn't take long for her to open up and to, like, lay on my lap and let me pet her. And it even got to the point where, and she never let us do it before, but, like, kissing her on the head, like, she never used to let that happen, but she started being a lot more accepting of touch and stuff. So it's been a good journey for her too, I think, this pandemic, because we were there a lot, so she was able to, you know, rely on us and open up a little bit more, because she came a long way from when she, you know, like, before the pandemic.
Is she having any difficulties now that you guys are both sort of returning to school and work? And
it's hard to say because she's a cat and they don't really, like, emote super well. I mean, other than, like, the screaming thing, it's hard to tell, like, what she's thinking. I know she does enjoy the snuggles and the pets, so... I would say that she's probably missing some of that when we're not there to do that all the time. But it's, like I said, it's hard to tell because she's pretty independent. She still does her own thing. She still, you know, just sleeps wherever she feels like sleeping. And I don't know what else she does in a day because that seems to sum it up. So, yeah, I wouldn't say that it's particularly easy for her because, again, I can't really tell. I just know that she appreciates when we spend time with her and when we, you know, give her attention. And she'll, you know, she'll do a lot to make sure we give her that attention. So I do think that maybe it's something that she's missing a little bit more now that we're not home all the time. But she seems to be okay. She seems to be happy anyway.
And were there any pets that you sort of left behind with your parents when you moved out?
Yeah, we had a yellow lab named Buddy, and he's pretty great too. He's less loud. He doesn't really, like, bark, but he still likes food, probably the same amount as Wendy does. So,
how did he handle you moving out? Was he sort of unfazed by it, or do you think he was a bit affected?
So again, it's hard to tell because I can't ask him. I'd like to believe he didn't just, you know, be like, okay, she's gone, whatever. I'd like to believe we had a little bit of a stronger bond than that. I still see him because we didn't, it's not like I moved super far away.
Right.
And he still knows who I am and stuff, and we'll play and I'll pet him and, you know, give him attention too. It helps that he also has, you know, like, my brother and my mom and my dad. It's not like half of the group left.
Right.
It's really just me. So I think he's okay. He seems okay. He seems happy. He seems healthy. He's an anxious dog. So there was always that layer, too, to where he does get anxious very easily. But He's, like I said, he seems to be doing okay.
At the beginning of the pandemic, when you were still living at home, did Buddy enjoy having, I know your mom is an essential worker, but did she enjoy having the rest of you, or did he enjoy having the rest of you around more?
I think so. He's a people dog. He doesn't interact with other animals all that much. Like other dogs on the street, he just sort of like ignores any other animal. But he does really gravitate towards people, and if there's a person, he wants to be right next to them or be under their feet, mm-hmm. or always be in the same room. So like, if I would like move from the living room to the kitchen, he'd be there too. If I moved back, he would follow me. He would just, wherever you go, he just sort of follows. So I think he does miss a little bit, maybe, of the personal connections now that, you know, because my mom's an essential worker, so she was never home that much, but my dad went back to work and my brother went to school. So I think he does miss a little bit of that, you know, having somebody there to just, you know, exist there with him.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I think he's okay, because he had most of his life pre-pandemic to where he was used to us being gone all day.
Yeah.
So he got more attention during the pandemic, which is really good. But I don't think that it's too much of a shock, because like my dad didn't really have a whole lot of like quarantine time. Like his work is also considered essential, so he went back pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that he got super used to, oh, somebody's always here to pet me or play with me. I think that it happened for like a couple weeks, but then, you know, things went back to a more normal.
So here's the essential question. You switched from dog ownership to cat ownership. So are you a dog person or a cat person?
I love both. I will say now that cats are definitely less maintenance. They're more independent, and I would love to someday have, like, I love Golden Retrievers. They're my favorite. It's the kind of dog I had growing up as a kid. I love them. I think they're great. However, for right now, for the space that we have and for the time that we have, because we're really not home all that much, we really couldn't have anything other than a cat who can, you know, they just sort of do their own thing. So I think I'm more of a cat person. But again, that sort of fits with my circumstances right now. So like, that's the best fit for me. But I can't say that I wouldn't have a dog again, because I could definitely have a dog.
What a diplomatic answer.
Oh, they're so great, though. I don't know how do people just choose one when I can have both.
True. Very true. Yeah. That's usually my answer to animals. Just have both. So was there anything else that you wanted to include in the archive and the interview that we didn't have a chance to speak about?
I mean, that covers pretty much the, like, the main events that happened. You know, I got, you know, I graduated, got new jobs, switched to remote learning, moved in with my boyfriend, looking for houses. Like, that's, can't really think of anything that's bigger than that.
Yeah, those are pretty big events.
Yeah. It's been a crazy year and a half.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for your contribution to the archive, and have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks.